Psalm 143, verse 10 says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground." Isn't that a good word? Love that. That's Psalm 143, verse 10. Well, happy Thursday this September 9th. Welcome to Mark and Friends Today. Friend, my name is Joey Kroll, and I was out doing some yard work just the other day, doing some mowing, and I noticed that there are some leaves on the ground. What happened? No! It's a reminder, one of the first signs that summer is coming to an end. That is for sure. Yeah, I know. In fact, just last week, I was sitting on my back deck, and I thought, hey, are there leaves falling from that tree? And, well, it was confirmed this week. So, anyways, yeah, summer coming to an end, getting ready for just the fall season, and had a chance to go on my front porch yesterday morning and noticed how much cooler it was. Fall is peaking right around the corner. So, well, here we are. Good week and a half into the new month. Get your hands on the September copy of the Prime Lifetime. Some great articles in it this month talking about Key West, Florida. If you're a big fan of Florida, there's a great article about Key West, but also a great behind-the-scenes story of Charlotte Elliott, who wrote the famous hymn, "Just As I Am." So that and so much more in the September edition of the Prime Lifetimes. Find out more at primelifetimes.com. And I kind of am pressed for time today because we have a wonderful program in store for you today. Of course, Saturday is going to be, do I want to say the word special? I don't know if that's a proper word, so please forgive me. It is going to be a day of remembrance. Saturday, we're going to look back 20 years to those tragic events of September the 11th, 2001. And I'm going to sound a little old here. I can't believe it's been 20 years. I really cannot believe it's been 20 years. You blink, and there goes two decades right there. And so you are going to be in store for a great program. Today here on Mark and Friends, we're going to hear a testimony from Stanley Premneth. His memories are from inside the second World Trade Tower. And you're going to hear a dramatic eyewitness testimony as we remember September the 11th, 2001. And Stanley was inside the World Trade Center where he worked for a large bank. And as we're about to hear, the Lord moved mightily in Stanley's life that day. And it all started with a pair of very thick shoes that he had put on for the first time that morning. Here's Stanley Premneth on today's edition of Mark and Friends.
I have an extraordinary story that I have to share with you tonight, but I'm just an ordinary person. I am just a deacon for my church, a Sunday school superintendent, and a regular person. God chooses who he chooses, and he does it for a reason we would never understand. See, our God that we serve is a big God who is still in the miracle business. See, today I want to take you back to that horrible day, September 11, when tragedy struck home. If you close your eyes for one brief moment with me, you would imagine what I went through on that horrible day, when my day became night. It is a story with a good beginning and a good ending. See, I started that day with a prayer in my heart. I'm taking my shower on September 11th. I'm praying in my heart, "Lord, take me to work. Cover me and all my loved ones under your precious blood. And bring us back home in peace and safety." And for some apparent reason, that prayer that I just prayed, I was going over and over and over in my heart. Why? I don't know. See, I started that day with a prayer in my heart. When I came home that evening, I came back with a thanksgiving. I told my wife that morning, I said, "Look, Jen, I said, you know that shoe that I bought? The only shoe I bought in my life? That's the one I'm going to wear today. I paid $110 for the shoe. My wife said it was an ugly shoe." She said, "Stan, for $110, I could have gotten you a better looking shoe." Had I not wear that shoe, I probably would not have been able to walk again. The shoe today is in a box, and I wrote the word deliverance all over that box. And I told my wife, I said, "If ever I get cold for the Lord, yank me back, open that box, show me that shoe, snap me back to reality." So here I am. Jumped in the car, went to the A line, took the train, went to work. Took the elevator, less than 1 minute. I'm up on the sky lobby, 78th floor. Got out from there, took the local elevators. I work on the 81st. Got in the office. There's a young lady, Delise. She is making copies of the copier. The phone is ringing in my desk. My mother is on the phone. Stan, how you doing? I'm fine, thanks. How are you? Are you okay? I'm fine. She hung up the phone. My brother Steve is on the phone. Same questions. Why are these people calling me? He hung up. My brother Bill is calling me now. Stan, are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. Hung up the phone. For no apparent reason, I turn and look at my right, and what I saw was fireballs coming down. I couldn't see One World Trade, the first tower that got hit, from the position where I was, but fireballs were coming down. I don't know where it's coming from. I picked up the phone. We had occupied four floors of 2 World Trade Center, 79th through 82nd, and my boss, Peter Del Grasso, he was working on the 59th floor of One World Trade. So I pick up the phone. Hey, Petey-san, pick up the phone. Pick up. Nobody's picking up. No response. Hung up the phone. I told Delise, let's get out of here. We ran down the corridor back to the elevator where we came. So me and Delise, 18 other people, worked with these people for 13 years. They're more than friends. We're chit-chatting. Elevator came. We went down. We're about to go through the turnstile to exit the building, mezzanine level. Security guards stop us. Where you guys are going? We're going home. What do you mean you're going home? Yeah, we're going home because I saw fireballs coming down from One World Trade. Or something is happening outside. He says, now your building is secure. Go back to your office. I made one of the wisest decisions I ever made. I turned to the young lady who was with me. I said, Delise, why don't you have the rest of the day off? She is happy she's gone. We went back in the elevator. We're going back now. 19 of us. Delise is gone. She's happy. Went back to the 78th floor. Sky lobby. Got out from there. Some went to the 79th, some went to the 80th. I went to the 81st, myself, alone. The others went to the 82nd floor. Walked back down the corridor. I mean, coming back to my desk. The phone is ringing again. There's a young lady from one of our branches in Chicago. Stan, are you watching the monitor? No, I'm not. Stan, are you watching the news? No, I'm not. Stan, are you okay? Of course I am. Fine. And in mid-sentence, I just raised my head. Watching towards the Statue of Liberty, and what I saw was the biggest aircraft that I've ever seen bearing down on me. Eye level. Dropped the phone, screamed, and I dove under the desk, a steel desk. Later on, when I watched the news, I saw that plane from coming straight, just made a little turn. The plane crashed, tilted like this. The bottom wing is stuck in my office door, 20 feet from where I was, under my desk. I'm crying. I'm screaming. I'm praying, Lord, send somebody, anybody, help me, Lord. I don't want to die. I want to see my two children. I want to go home to my family. I don't want to die. Send somebody, anybody. It looked as if a demolition crew had came in and had just broken up everything. All the walls were flattened. All the desks were unturned. But the desk that I was under just stayed intact. See, I always carry my Bible. That Bible was on top of my desk. And for some divine reason, that desk stayed intact. And I could see through all that rubble. The plane wing that is tucked there, that's my exit, starts to burn. It's not a big flame, it's a glow. And in my mind, that plane is going to blow up. And I'm going to die. I have to hurry. So I'm screaming, Lord, send somebody, anybody. And while I'm doing this, I'm trying to get up. Then I'm realizing that the entire ceiling collapsed. And part of the 82nd floor, and I'm buried under rubble, 5 feet of rubble. So only my head could show out. All of a sudden, somebody heard my scream and had a flashlight. And I'm saying to myself, what are the chances for somebody to have a flashlight in a time like this? It is strange. And I'm saying, am I dreaming? It's my Lord. He sent somebody to save me. I see a light. This time, the man had the flashlight and he was waving it over his head in the hollow space of the ceiling. That place looked like a war zone. The air was thick. It looked like somebody opened up a giant bag of cement and threw it in the air. That's how that place looked. And the smell of sulfur, I thought it was sulfur at the time, was so strong I couldn't breathe. This thing was jet fuel. Had I known that that plane had exploded, had I known that that building was on fire, I probably would have died of panic attack. So I'm screaming on top of my lungs now. please wait for me, do not leave me to die. But because of the crashing sound, I got temporary deaf, so I couldn't hear the man. I couldn't hear him responding and telling me that he's going to wait for me. And I started to crawl on top of that debris and all that mangled steel and furniture. I crawled the entire length of the loans department, through the lounge, into the computer room, into the communication room. And then I realized I couldn't go further because there was a wall that stood intact, a sheetrock wall, a drywall, that separates the stairway from me and the person with the flashlight. Now, people do strange things when they're traumatized. I start asking the man some strange question. Who are you? What's your name? Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Do you go to church? The man told me later on that I was a nut. Well, I'm sure I am. I'm a nut for the Lord. Because in my heart, I knew what I was about to do. He's got to tell me his convictions. While I'm asking all these questions, I'm telling this man, look, I can't climb over this wall like he wants me to. Because all these cables and wires hanging down, they were short-circuiting and they were sparking. And the sprinkler system was on. And my greatest fear in my heart was I was going to be electrocuted. I didn't want to die. He told me his name was Brian Clark. Let me climb over the wall. And he says, I can't do it. Just don't climb over. If you want to live, climb over. I says, no, I want to live. You pray with me. Now, I can't see if this man prayed or not. But I'm about to go to pray. And part of a ceiling came down. And trying to prevent it from hitting my face, I put my hands up. And that sheetrock nail went in my hand. And I says, ha. Ah. He said, what happened? I says, a nail went in my hand. He said, well, bite it out. I said, I can't. He said, well, push against the piece of wood and the nail is going to come out. I took the second option. The hand ballooned. I was cut. I was bruised. I was bloodied. My head was full of cement. If you look at me, you would have sworn that I was a terrorist. I had no shirt. It was gone. I called it my lucky pants. It stayed intact, not even a scratch. My undershirt looked as if it came out of a shredder. My shoe tells the entire story. Had I not had that shoe, I probably would not have been able to walk. I said, Lord, just one time more. One time more, Lord. Give me the strength. I have to see my children. And I got up from that prayer. When I looked back at that wall, it did not possess a challenge this time. And I said in my heart, I said, I'm going to bust you down. And with everything that I got, even though my hands were ballooned, swollen, bleeding, I started to punch with everything I got until my hand went through and Brian Clark said, I see a hand. I said, well, you see my head, he yanked my body through. I fell on top of him. I give that man the biggest hug and kiss I ever give a man before. I said, you are my guardian angel and my God sent you to save me. And the man slapped me. I thought he would have said thank you. The man slapped me. He said I was a nut. He wanted to snap me back to reality. That's what he told me. And I looked at him and I says, Brian, we got to hurry. This building is going. And he turned and he looked at me as if I was crazy. He said, Stan, by profession I'm an engineer and steel don't bend. I said, well, we've got to go. This plane is going to blow up and this building is going. And he'd look at me strange. We got a long way to go down now from the 81st floor to the ground floor. I'm cut, I'm bloodied, I'm bruised, I'm tired. We tried to walk down from the 81st to the 80th floor. There was so much debris in the stairway. We just slid right down. The next thing we know, we landed on the 88th floor. We're stopping to take a breather intermittently because I was tired. One floor, we saw a man. He was lying on his back, covered in blood. His back was broken. And he was crying like a baby, and a security guard was standing like a hawk guarding this man. And he said, please tell my wife and our baby, we just got a new baby, that I love him. And send somebody else, please send somebody else, the EMS workers, to take me down. He says, no, I'll take you down. Security guard says, don't touch this man. Trying to take him down, you'll cause more injury. The poor man never made it out because there was no EMS people coming up while we were going down. Brian Clark told me later on that had he not heard me screaming, he would have made the wrong decision to go back up like the other people who came with him, and he would have perished. We're going down now. Like two buddies coming home from a long day, like a battle or something. We're going down. We stopped at another floor. Brian called his wife, told his wife, look, everything is fine, I'm coming home. I called my wife. When she saw that second plane coming into that building, she couldn't take it no more. So she went home. I spoke to her supervisor. She was in tears. I said, if you can get hold of Jenny, tell her that I'm coming home. I'm fine. But it had not ended yet. We still got to go downstairs. So we're hurrying now. We're hobbling. We're going downstairs. By this time we are soaked. The sprinkler system is on. The stairway we could have seen because it was painted after the 93 bombing with luminous paint. So it glows in the dark. We hit the ground floor. The only people who were there were the EMS workers, the cops, and the firefighters. And they had roped around 3 blocks around the World Trade Center. And these good men were cheering us along. So me and Brian, we were running. And I'm telling Brian, Brian, I'm going to Trinity Church. This is the Lord's doing. I got to go thank the Lord. Brian says, I'm coming with you. We're going down. We're running. The cops are saying, look out. Watch out for broken glass. It's coming down like confetti. Like a ticketed parade. That's exactly how it looked. Funny thing is, we ran through, not one piece of glass cut us. Can't explain it. Beats all the logic. In running, we bumped into a priest. And I told that priest, I remember saying, this man is my guardian angel. My Lord sent him to save me. The next thing I know, I'm holding on to the fence. And I turn to Brian for the last time, and I'm telling him the same thing. Brian, this building is going. And Brian is about to give me another slap. And together we turned. And we watched the Twin Towers for the last time. It started to sway. And it started to buckle. And that sound that when you bend steel and broken steel, what it makes, it started to creak like that. An eerie, ghostly sound. And the building started to implode. First, I thought it was going to fall over. It was going to flip over the way it was, you know, swaying from side to side. But the building was built in such a way to withstand, at the time, 5 helicopters crashing into it one shot without taking it out. But who knew jet fuel was that powerful? The building came down. I pushed Brian away. I said, get away as far as possible from this city. It's a dangerous place. And everybody started running, screaming. Some of them were cursing, trampling each other. And we got misplaced. We got separated in the crowd. I had to go tell my wife. I had to tell her, because in my mind somewhere down there, Pastor, I really thought that they were bombing the financial area. And I says, oh, I've got to tell my wife. I've got to get her to safety. I called her. I said, Jen, this is Stan. She says, who is this? I says, it's me, Stan, I'm all right. She says, please don't play games with me. Why are you doing this to me? I said, no, I'm okay. I'm coming home to you and the girls. She said, no, you're not my husband. Don't do that. Don't play games with me. I said, no, my Lord protected me. He's sending me home to take care of you. She was hysterical. I reached home. I pulled up in the driveway. The neighbors were out. The front door was open. My 2 little girls, Stephanie, 9, Caitlin is going to be 5 next month, and my wife is standing by the door. The neighbors saw me. They went back in their house. They wanted to give me some private time with my family. Walked in the house. My little one, Caitlin, looks at me. Says, you're not daddy. You look different. Says, no, this is daddy. I've come home to take care of you. I hugged my wife. I hugged the 2 children. Says, Lord, thank you. See, that morning, I went to work with a prayer in my heart, and it was time for a Thanksgiving. I went to bed that night, and I could not fall asleep. So what do? I pick up the Bible. I'm watching the news. People are saying, emergency is spelling with 9 letters. September is spelling with 9. All these emails are flying crazy over. 9-11 means so-so-so. It's an emergency number. I pick up the Bible and I turn to Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I went to bed. And Pastor Scott, I slept like a baby. You see, I sought the Lord, and He heard me. And He delivered me from all these fears, like they said in Psalm 34. See, on that particular day, everything that I asked God for, He gave me. I said, Lord, send somebody, anybody. He sent Brian Clark. I said, Lord, just one time more, help me. He made me break down that wall. I said, Lord, help me. And He held up that building in His palm of His hands until we were in perfect safety. The building came down afterwards. It was like I had a direct connection to God that particular day. It was like I had a hotline to God. There was no call waiting, no operator, no long-distance carrier, no nothing. I called and He responded. I sought the Lord and He heard me. Praise the Lord. He covered me under His wings, under His feathers. 1,000 shall fall at thy left, but no harm shall come unto thee. Now, how do you explain this logically? I can't. I ask myself many, many times. I says, Lord, why me? That inner voice comes back to me, well, Stan, why not you? See, I'm reminded of a chorus my daughter Caitlin sings in Sunday school. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. I ask myself, well, this is very, very profound. I told myself many, many times. But you've got to be careful what you ask the Lord for. Because if you ask Him with all your heart and all your mind and all your body, all your soul, you just cry, you just pour your heart into Him, He's going to give you that desire. He will give you. Because faithful as He is, He still does miracles in people's lives. Today I want to give God all the thanks and all the praises because He is the Almighty One. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. He is a superstar. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's the Everlasting One. He is Abba, my Father. Praise the Lord. And this, my good people, is my testimony. I hope it blesses all your hearts.
What a powerful word from Stanley Premniff as we look back 20 years ago this weekend to September the 11th, 2001. Friend, if you missed any of today's program, go back and re-listen to it at greatnewsmedia.org.